B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he counts. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. It was a tough day yesterday for all of us as Philadelphians, and particularly those who love the sport of basketball. And I want to start the show by reading you something, at least the beginning of something that I wrote for Philadelphia Magazine this morning, because I think it kind of sums up at least how I feel, and I'm curious to talk about Kobe Bryant and what he meant to us, the game. And so I start off with the images of Kobe flashed all day, stringing together a rush of sadness and sobering thoughts of mortality and the fragileness of life. Young Kobe and historic Kobe and HOF Kobe whirled across the screen, the colors always the purple and gold of the Lakers. There's a Kobe dagger to win a game, and there's Jack Nicholson applauding. There's Kobe winning another title, and there's another reverential celebrity. There's post-career Kobe shooting it with Jimmy Kimmel, and Kobe welcoming you to L.A., and Kobe the content creator all over the Hollywood trades. There's Alicia Keys last night at the Grammys inside the Staples Center, the house that Kobe built, mourning his loss with the rest of music's weepy-eyed who's who. And while it's undeniable that Kobe Bryant became the prince of that royal world, I can't help but exclaim he was every bit ours. I know he spent a portion of his childhood in Italy and that he settled down in Southern California, but he was born of our soil. He was our own favorite son. Not so favorite at times. We go back to 2001 and the basketball piece. But what we lost a great ambassador, someone who loved Philadelphia, someone who was from here, who had his formative years here, who was every bit one of us. He just so happened to be a top five basketball player of all time. But he exuded Philadelphia. He exuded the Delaware Valley. I don't care what anybody says. He felt it. I was harkening back to a story when I was at the Inquirer. I was in L.A. and I did a piece on him. And it was October of 1999. And the Lakers were practicing at L.A. Southwestern College. And I go to practice and it was Phil Jackson's first year. And there was a lot of stuff going on. They had fired Kurt Rambis after a year. The year before that, they had fired Del Harris. There was a lot of talk going on with Kobe and Shaq. That fight had just begun. They looked at him like he was a pariah, selfish. You know, they said all kinds of nasty things about him. And I remember he was 21 years old when I sat with him that day. And we were both young and talking. And I, you know, he was every bit of, you know, 40 that day and how he spoke. And, you know, it was an interesting moment that I think back to, because he had to go to the airport and he said to me, "Would you like to take a ride?" And, you know, that's why I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll just take a cab back to the hotel and listen, we can hang out some more and, you know, for the story. And we talked all kinds of stuff. And, you know, he had the world. He was in a cast. He broke his hand and his hand was in a cast. And we were talking about, he's like, "I want to get through this," and the whole thing. And then we talk about Philadelphia, talk about the Eagles. And I remember that moment, and there was a picture on TMZ, and he had an Eagles ski cap on, like a knit cap. And I remember thinking about, wow, we talked about the Eagles that day. He loved the Eagles. And I remember thinking about him and the relationship that we had. And in 2001, when he came here, when he did the finals, he's not going to rip your hearts out, the whole thing. And I remember I always defended that moment because I always thought that's what a true Philadelphian would say. It just so happened it was against us, right? It was internal. But a true Philadelphian would say, yeah, I'm going to come in to rip your hearts out. Because that's what a true Philadelphian is, right? He's an incredible competitor who will fight against anyone and anything. And so I just remembered that moment in the finals, as much as we loved AI, the Sixers, the whole thing. But Kobe, to me, was still one of our sons. He happened to settle in L.A., and he happened to make, you know, became one of the coterie of celebs and stars and the whole Hollywood thing. But, man, the dude was Philadelphia. He really was. He was regal, but he was Philadelphia. If Will Smith did it as the Prince of Bel-Air, Kobe did it as the Prince of Philadelphia. And he will be missed in the tragedy. His daughter and all those poor people who perished in that helicopter accident. It was just a sad, sad day. And we lost one of the great ones, man. He was, and particularly for like here, like we revere the game of basketball. Right, we have a relationship with each of the four sports that's unique, right? Our own relationship as a city with the four sports. I mean, obviously, we love football in a different way. Basketball is something that's kind of just part of us. I was talking about the cultural aspect of basketball not too long ago. And when you think about everyone in this area is connected to that game in some way, right? Every walk of life. You know, those of the Jewish faith fell in love with that game, and big reason why, played a huge part, and still do today in the NBA, the formation of the NBA, and how the NBA is gone. And the Catholic people, and whether it's, you know, boys or girls basketball, in the Catholic faith, that was a way to play basketball. That was the parishes, the African-American communities, so rich here. Playgrounds, like the cultural aspect of basketball in Philadelphia just means so much. And Kobe was a poster child of that. And he embodied a lot of what Philadelphia is and was and that relationship to the game. Truly means something. And he's had a legacy, and man, our hearts go out to his family, his wife and surviving daughters and the hell that they're going through right now. So our prayers and thoughts and wishes go out to the Bryant family. I would like to talk to you guys about this today and remember, because the best way to pay homage to someone is to talk about them and to remember their accomplishments and what they meant. And I got news for you. You know, you meet a lot of people in this business. What I do as a writer and stuff. He was one of the coolest dudes around. He really was. You know, I wasn't any, you know, great friends or anything like that. But, you know, as an acquaintance, he seemed to be a terrific guy. And I just loved him. I admired his game. I admired the way he purported himself and that he was a really smart guy. And he was cool. Kobe, man, one of the great ones. So I want to talk to you about it today. Hello, Junis.
Good morning, Anthony.
It sucks. Tough, I thought it is.
It sucks.
You know, when, you know, it's weird because of the death of a celebrity, right?
Yes.
Because we all mourn together, even though we don't know the person. They meant something, right? Or they represented something. Now, there's all the other stuff, the ancillary things that come to play, right? Because it's something that we all share, the mortality and the fragileness of life. That all comes out.
Right.
But we experience this stuff together. And it makes us stop and it makes us pause. when something like this happens.
Yeah, and I was telling you before the show, I was at, you know, a dive bar in Manayunk when the news broke yesterday. And I guarantee you a news station was never on one of those TVs in that bar. Like, it's always sports in there, right?
Sure.
CNN, Fox News, ABC, any news station that was broadcasting it yesterday, we had it on every single TV at this bar yesterday. And everybody there was just in shock and in silence. Like, nobody was speaking, right? Everybody was with a friend yesterday, and everybody's just staring at the TV. And they had the audio blaring so that everybody could hear. It sucked yesterday. And, like, you know, you talk about Jordan. You talk about Julius Erving. Like, those were your guys growing up. Kobe was mine.
Yeah.
I'm 26, yeah. So we talked about last week, nostalgia.
Yeah.
The 2001 finals.
We talked about it.
I talked about, yeah, that's when I really got into basketball. That's when I experienced heartbreak for the first time. And that's really when I experienced Kobe for the first time. Because it was out west, right? I wasn't staying up at 11 o'clock at night to watch NBA games when I was 6, 7 years old. But when those finals went on, that's when I learned about Kobe. And like a lot of people my age, that's when we started following him, especially here in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Tough day yesterday.
Yeah, it was. It really was. You know, I was too young to realize when John Lennon was killed. And,
right.
You know, I didn't know. And I know all the people that mourned and wept. And, you know, I guess, you know, this is kind of, you know, losing a celebrity in our world, you know?
Yeah, he's an icon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a shame. It really is. All right, we're going to have lots of guests to come on to talk about Kobe. We will hear from Larry Brown. We will hear from Jerry Colangelo, who was with him on USA Basketball. And I really want to pay homage and pay tribute to Kobe, who I don't care what anybody says. He was one of us, man. He was born of this soil. In that sense, he was Philadelphian. I don't care about Italy. I know he made his life in L.A., but he had those Philadelphia roots, man. And he had a little trace of Philadelphia accent. He was a Philadelphian, and he was one of the greatest of all time. We'll come back. Here's your phone number, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. Those are the phone lines. All right, let's talk about your home for a second, because chances are this spring you're going to do something, some home improvement, or you're going to clean out the basement or maybe the garage. You do some remodeling and so you need some help. That's where you turn to the Bagster. The Bagster bag, a 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag that's sold at Home Depot and Lowe's and home improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. Listen, it'll handle everything. It's fantastic. It's if you need something, it's easy, it's simple, it's on demand. So you'll love it, and it'll aid you in whichever way. Make sure you buy it, fill it, and you schedule your collection. It's gone, no time limits. Go to TheBagster.com to find the store nearest you for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you, clean up the Bagster. Dumpster in a bag.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right. Welcome back to the program. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis as we hang out here mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant. I think back to, man, some of the key, what I loved about him was he was such a competitor, man. He had just balls, and it's amazing. When he was a kid, I'll never forget, when he first gets to the game, and he's the Lakers, and he's 18 years old. And this is, you know, again, before all those kids are making the jump to the NBA, right? And he's fired up shots. One of his early first few shots, I think it was against Charlotte, is an air ball. And you know, and he's undeterred. And it's interesting because you kind of go back full circle and bring it back to today with Ben and shooting the ball. And, you know, he had a wonderful game on Saturday night. And the irony is amazing, right? I mean, it's sometimes things happen in this life and you go, why? The fact that right here in Philadelphia, LeBron James passes Kobe for third all time on the NBA scoring list. I mean, it's unbelievable. He tweets, he's a huge admirer of LeBron, and it's uncanny. And it happens with the Lakers and LeBron playing the Sixers. It's just uncanny, right? How that stuff works. It really is. But he was tough. he had just big game, was so fluid, he was poetic to watch. Just a beautiful player. Just a beautiful basketball player. Man, and he was just money, and he was a great defender. I'll never forget that All-Star game. You remember the All-Star game? It's one of his lasts when he's D'ing up LeBron.
Oh, yeah. And that was picture perfect right there.
Oh, my God. It was almost like he was trying to make a statement, you know? And he blocked his shot. He blocked his shot. It was like, oh, you're not going to pass me. I'm still better. His pride was amazing. Like, his basketball pride was something that was mythical.
I remember the videos of him challenging his teammates. Like, this was when he was on, like, the bad Lakers teams toward the tail end of his career after they won that championship with Pau Gasol and that group. He was on a bad team, and he was still challenging every single one of those players in practice. That was awesome to see.
It really was. It really was. It was, I mean, it was amazing. You think back to, you know, his career. His career. I mean, as someone who covered toward the end of Mike the last few years before he goes to Washington, and watching him, I mean, I could see him, man. He emulated Jordan so much. I mean, to the tongue wagging. I mean, it was amazing.
There's a big video. I'll show it to you during one of the breaks. It came out a few years ago, but it's resurfacing, obviously, because of the tragedy yesterday. And they did, like, somebody edited it perfectly. And it's Michael Jordan, and then he does a turnaround, and they were able to switch it into Kobe.
Right.
Because Kobe had so many similar attributes on the court and the moves that Michael Jordan had. I got to show it to you because it's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, it was uncanny how he was able to emulate him. I mean, you remember, you know, for those of you who grew up at that time, you know, Jordan was it, right? Like, you know, everybody emulated Jordan, from the pikers like us on the playground to, you know, the elites of the elites like Kobe. I mean, everybody, you know, tried to emulate Mike, and it was amazing how he was himself, but he was able to morph into Jordan mode. It was almost like this super mode. It was amazing to watch. He really was just an amazing player. I mean, and again, he embodied the toughness of a Philadelphia athlete. I mean, you know, he's still toe-to-toe against Shaq. You know, you can say whatever you want. He was not one of these dudes who wanted to make friends with everybody and, like, chum it up around the league.
He wanted to win.
He did. He was the ultimate winner, man. He was the ultimate warrior in that sense. All right, let's kick it off on the phone lines. Aaron in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, man. Heavy heart this morning, man. Heavy heart, man. Crying all morning, man. But, and thank you for letting people know, man. He's a native son, man.
That's right.
I used to see Kobe play when I was, you know, look at him, man. Because I look at people coming out of, like, the area that, you know, that's good in sports. So, you know, I like doing that. I still do it sometimes. I'm a little older than that. I don't do it as much as I used to. But to see this kid, man, I didn't really think he was going to be what he was. But even when I seen him play, he's such a learner of the game. He's such a student of the game. That's what made him better than everybody else, because he studied the game and he learned the game, and he embodied that, man. And I just like to say, you know, for his family, man, God bless him, man, and let him be. I know their hearts are heavy, man. His father, his mother, and his sisters, man, and, you know, his kids and all that, you know. Just a tough time, man, that, you know, mortality is just life that, you know, we all go through stuff.
Yeah.
And for him to leave a legacy of hard work and dedication and to love the city and to see him go off when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, to see him talk to the team before they went out there. True Philadelphian, man, that cut our hearts out, you know, because he didn't play here for us. But to study him from afar, man, and see him when he played, man, I just enjoyed his game and enjoyed him as a person, man. What he started to become, more of a family man and take care of his daughter, you know, go to her games and coach and do that type of thing, man, and mentor people in the NBA.
I just look at that poor child. Boy, that little girl.
Man, ain't that a shame.
It's awful. It's awful.
It's awful. Man.
I mean, that's a young life. That's the worst of the worst. That's a young life that was taken, that was robbed, and that little, she was beautiful.
Prayers had to go up to his wife, man, because she just didn't lose her husband. She lost her daughter, man, and that's tough, man. That's got to be tough.
I know.
There
was a picture. I saw it on TMZ. I don't know why he was there, but I was like looking at a bunch of stuff, and somehow I wound up there. And the picture was him at the Staples Center, and he's got his arm around Gigi. And you know, he's got the Eagles cap on, the cap, the winter cap, and she's so cute. She was so adorable.
Right, man. Just a tough time, you know, in the city, because we understood him. We saw him when he was younger, and that always gets to me. Young people that come from our city, or the surrounding area that go and become great.
Well, you know, man. I mean, listen, we have a good connection, you and I. You know that. Like, I'm a homer. I get it. I admit it. And I'm unapologetic for it. Anything that comes out of our region, I love our city. I do. I love our town. Anything that comes out of our region, any person, anything, I'm going to root for. And, you know, that was a kid who turned into a man and became one of the greatest players of all time in a sport that we revere.
Man, I seen some tough guys, man, crying yesterday, man. I mean, some guys that, you know, you wouldn't see, you know, nowhere on those street corner, nowhere, you know, shedding a tear, man. They were crying yesterday, man. It was heartbreaking for a lot of people throughout the city, brother. And America really doesn't understand that. This is a Philly thing when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we really love that man.
Yeah.
We really loved him, and they don't understand the love that we have for him.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I appreciate you checking in on this, man. Henry. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Henry.
Cuz, what's up?
What's up, brother?
First off, beautiful words, and I read the piece that you shared, but that was beautiful on your part. I thank you for sharing that with us. Obviously tough. You just, like you said, a guy that embodies the Philadelphia soul. Looking at all these pictures of him, even just the post-career stuff, sitting on the court side. So many different outfits, so many different hats he had, but all the beanies he was wearing, it wasn't just one beanie, it was multiple colors, different beanies, all Eagles hats. This dude, like, he didn't forget about
it. I know. No, he didn't. That's right. That's right.
That's why I think, you know, this hurts so much and so much more than just a basketball player. Because, again, that's what he was. You know, he obviously was one of the greatest of all times, but the amount that he was starting to do post career, you know, the guy's an Oscar winner.
I know
the post career stuff he was doing, especially just with his girl, and you know that whole thing. It's so tough.
Yeah,
now, I
feel so sorry for those girls.
Oh my god,
they lose their sister, they lose their dad. Oh,
it's a sin.
It's awful. It's really. And I looked at him like the way he looks at his kids. And, you know, I got two myself, like, right? I can totally relate to it. Like, you know, that father's love, man, that's sad.
So one of the first, or at least I guess big statements from NBA teams other than the, you know, stereotypical responses was was I thought real class act. Mark Cuban says he's going to retire the 24 there. Now, do you think the league goes league wide with that 24? Do you think he's stature?
I would love to see it. I would love to see it. You know, I would. I'd love to see. I don't know. You know, again, I applaud Mark Cuban.
For doing that right now.
Yeah.
I think the Hall of Fame induction this year is going to be special. Listen, I think we're about to see something special from the Lakers. I mean, they play Tuesday against the Clippers, and I think this season, I think LeBron's going to find something, man. Yeah. I think this is going to be something special coming from that city.
Yeah.
How much do you hate to see it?
No, I'll be honest with you. I'm like kind of divorced from the competitive aspect right now, and more about the family element. There's also our own personal element of it as, absolutely, you know, Philadelphia sports people that, you know, I mean, it was a shock, and you know how it is. And when there is a celebrity that passes, particularly tragically like that, that's not of old age, and
exactly,
you know, it strikes you, and you know,
it puts life into perspective.
It sure does.
It puts life into perspective.
Amen, brother. Yeah, amen, Henry.
Makes you really, really appreciate things.
Yep, that's right, Henry. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thanks, buddy. No, it's and you know, I saw it. What time was it? Oh man, it was. When it first happened, I'm like, what? And all I kept thinking about, I got an alert on my phone. And I'm sure like you guys did. And all I keep thinking about is, no.
Well, yeah, my buddy saw it on TMZ first on Twitter. And I was like, nah, TMZ gets things wrong all the time. Like, what are you talking about? And then when more and more reports came out, and then when we put the news on.
I know.
It's like, dude.
I know. I got some, it was some... I forget what, I don't know, it was Time Magazine. I don't know. It was one of these things I subscribed to and these news outlets. And I was like, no way. It can't be. It was like around 3 o'clock, a little before 3 o'clock.
Because he was pretty much a national story the night before because of LeBron passing.
And they're like, nah, this got to be a mistake, fake news, something. You know, this can't be. And then all the other reports, you know, then the reports happen. And you're like, oh, my God, this is horrible. Absolutely horrible. Let's go to Vinny. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Vinny.
Hey, what's going on, dude?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. So about 12, 13 years ago, I was actually a ball boy for the Sixers. And this was the Stefanski time. So they had just signed Elton Brand, the Iguodala era. There was some excitement around the team, nothing like today, but there was a little bit of buzz.
Sure.
And so we're playing the Lakers that week. And so... ball boys got to be in there like around 4 o'clock. You know the job. You got to help them.
Yeah,
I mean, around all that.
You're working for my man Scotty Rego.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, for whatever reason, I got done school early that day, and so I decided to head down to the stadium a little earlier. And so I get there around like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I walk in the away locker room, not expecting to see nobody there. And so I walk in, and then I see Kobe Bryant in full uniform, not warm-ups, nothing, full jersey, and he's sitting down talking to Larry Brown. And so they look up at me, and I go, oh, sorry, I'm here, sorry. And then Kobe says, no, stay, wait for me. And so I sit there, I'm listening to him talk, having a conversation, and then Larry Brown gets up, walks away, and he just looks at me, he goes, I love that guy, man. I wish I could have played for him. I love that guy. And so he just says, you mind helping me out a little bit? I said, sure. So he walks out. He walks me out into the court, and it's just me and Kobe.
Wow.
In an empty stadium, and I'm helping him out for about like a half hour, 45 minutes, just me and him shooting around, helping him go through pregame. And then the whole time, I could just look at his face, and he had the same exact face on during the pregame, during this little shoot around that he would have on the game. It was just like I was in awe about it. And then we're walking off, and he's done, and he's got his arm around me, he's thanking me, and I'm like, I'll never forget. I was like, why are you here so early? Nobody's in here. And he's like, exactly. That's why I'm here. Nobody's here.
Wow.
And I was just like, I just walked off, and it was just amazing.
Wow. What an amazing experience.
There was a lot of experiences down there, but being a ball boy for those couple of years, meeting all the players and all that, but that was definitely the top of it. I was always, you know, Kobe, Philly guy. And
sure.
All that stuff. It was just an amazing time.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny because The thing I loved about him was he was cool with everybody. Like, he was one of those guys.
Oh, yeah. He was a great guy.
That, yeah, like, it didn't matter, like, what stature of life that you had, that you held. He was cool with you. Like, he had time. Like, he was, you know, he was very grounded in that realm.
Yeah, like, being down there, you're, like, rubbing elbows with all the players. You see what kind of personalities everyone,
exactly,
all the players had, and he was different. He would, like, some players wouldn't give you the time of day or nothing, but he was there, give everyone the time of day, talk to you, sign anything for anybody, and just like a down-to-earth person. He never forgot where he came from. It felt like those always had those Philly roots.
Amen, brother.
He knew he loved Philly, too, so.
I know he did. Vin, I it was funny. I in the piece that I wrote, I remember, so I leave him at the airport. Like, I'm got to go get a cab now back to my hotel, and he was flying somewhere. So I leave him, and he's like, yo, Philly, baby. So I give him, like, a pound or whatever, and he's like, you know, tell everybody how much I love it, you know.
Love it, yeah.
Make sure you say how much you love it.
High schools and all that.
Yeah,
man. I went to Roman, and he's like, you know, Roman. You know, he knew Speedy Morris, knew everybody. He was going back and forth about everything, so.
Hey, man, brother. Vinny, thank you for sharing that story, brother.
You got it, man.
Appreciate it, Vin. You too. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. 610-632-0975. We'll tell you what. We have Larry Brown. It's funny. Vinny brought Larry Brown. We have him coming up at 11. Where are we at? 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
With Larry.
And as you can expect, he's upset. I was talking a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's imagine. He, listen, you know, he's a great man. And, you know, forget about coaching and how revered he is as a coach. But, he, you know, he's a guy who loved basketball. And it's funny, Larry Brown, who was known as a vagabond in that sense, the great nomad of the NBA, right? He found a home here. Like, the great nomad of the NBA found a home here. And so the relation of basketball and Philadelphia and Kobe and playing him in the finals and, you know, the fact that he comes from here, you know, it's all intertwined. All right, let's talk about the most convenient, affordable way to help with any of your cleanup. We were talking about it a little earlier, but, you know, springtime's going to be here before you know it, and you might be doing some home improvement stuff. You might be doing some stuff with, you know, remodeling, whatever. Just clean up, man. Spring clean up. Can't go wrong with the Bagster. Holds 3,300 pounds of waste, and it's a dumpster in a bag. 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag. Sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, and local home improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. It's an amazing product because it holds all this waste and stuff, but it's not like the metal steel dumpsters that are nasty. It's a bag. And the beauty of it, it's on demand. You keep it, and when you're done cleaning up or your job or whatever it is, you call Waste Management, they come get it. Boom. It's easy. Go to thebagster.com. You find the store nearest you for more details. Again, this is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in a bag.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 10:51 right here on this Monday, a somber Monday, as we remember Kobe Bryant. Again, I can't stress enough that he was born of this soil. The basketball player, and most importantly, the man, right? He was born of our soil. Though he left here at the age of 3 and went to Italy and lived there while Joe Bryant played in Italy. And he picked up his love of Nutella and spoke fluent Italian. He was a Philadelphia, came back, stabs himself, and he, you know, he was every bit the Philadelphia kid. And it's funny, man. You look about like the people that have left here and gone on to do great things in the world, right? Like in the world of sports and entertainment. And Kobe, of course, becomes one of the top five players of all time. You know, I think about the Prince thing, right? And then Will Smith, and he goes out, you know, some kid from West Philly, right? Comes out and really has such a huge mark on the entertainment industry, right? And you look at what Kobe did. He was a marvel. Brilliant, bright, just an incredible competitive spirit to no end.
I've seen a couple people tweet this out, and I tweeted out a similar thing yesterday. There isn't a kid my age or a person around my age that didn't have a basketball in their hand or a piece of paper in their hand and turn around and say Kobe when you're shooting the ball into the net or shooting the piece of trash into the trash can. Like, I can tell you right now, there's 1,000 people right now that go, I did the same thing as a kid. Because that's what we did. I mean, Kobe was our Michael Jordan. And it was turnarounds, throw whatever you got in your hand, say Kobe every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, man. You know. He was such a great player. You know, it was funny that we're talking about it because the Mamba thing, like that wasn't even, that was more of a brand nickname. Like Kobe was one word, right? The four letters, K-O-B-E, described, that was him.
It's weird doing my updates today because I'm saying Bryant. Yeah. You know, like, because the formal way of doing things, you say the first name once, right. and then you say the last name the rest of the time. And I'm saying Bryant, and I'm going, it just doesn't feel right.
Right, it doesn't roll off the tongue, yeah.
And I may have to change it to Kobe the rest of the way, because that's who he was.
That's exactly who he was. That's true. No, I mean, and that's why the loss is felt here. I was watching the Grammys, and, you know, they were all talking about it. It's the Staples Center, and everybody's weepy-eyed, and as imagine all these celebrities, and yeah, I'd seen all these images all day long. Kobe, the purple and gold, and you know, there's Jack Nicholson, and it's like he's in that land, right? That world, that who's who world. But the roots come back here, right? The roots come back to a Larry's cheesesteak. That's where the roots go. Come back to.
And D Line was on with the morning crew today. She told a good story. She said he would come back to Philly during whether it was the off season or time off during the NBA season, and he wouldn't tell anyone because he didn't want it to be like this big thing. He would show up at high school basketball games, or we had a caller earlier today that said he showed up to a high school football game. It was a Lower Merion game, and he just showed up unannounced. Yeah. And then of course, like, the news crews would be upset that nobody got the story of Kobe coming back to Philly. But I wonder how many times he did it. Probably hundreds of times, and we just had no idea because he wanted to come back home.
Yeah, without a doubt. No, he had it was very much a part of him. You know, I mean, he had a love of the town. It was home for him, you know. Let's go to Vince. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Vince.
Hey, I was going to say good morning, but I guess it's too somber.
Yeah, how you doing, pal?
Hanging in there. You know, two things that came to mind as I was riveted by the whole coverage yesterday. I mean, I know it might not be the right way to put it, but people, I think, I know there's always been like international stars, like, you know, Michael Jordan, those kind of guys. But I think people really don't understand the worldwide impact he had. Because I was following, you know, like I said, I was looking at some of the Italian soccer games, and like a lot of the guys are doing like the 2-4 signal.
Yeah.
You know, during the game and stuff. And I said, it's amazing. Like, you know, like.
I mean, he lived there and he spoke fluent Italian.
No,
he was a big soccer fan.
No, but even other soccer players like in France and.
He was
like
global.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it was just amazing. And, you know, it's probably might sound like a bad pun, but like he also was a crossover person, so to speak. And I don't mean a dribble, you know, because of the entertainment industry and everything else. And plus, the other thing too is I was watching, you know, we were talking about all the people he touched locally and everything. First of all, I was never bothered by that whole cut your throats out or whatever that saying he was. I was always a fan of his, number one. And number two, you've been around the country, and you know, like the hotbeds like Rucker Park and New York City and that kind of stuff and Chicago. I still say we're now the best basketball town in America, period. There's not even a debate anymore. Because think about all the interconnected, all these people that were speaking yesterday, all the people, like say, even like JV teams, like they all called up and offered tribute. And I said, no other city in America has that, not even close. And I think it's a tribute to, like, how, like, you know, in a way it reflects well on us as a city, you know, especially basketball-wise.
Yeah, you know? I still believe, you know, it's you know, Philadelphia's relationship with basketball is really runs deep. I know that, you know, we get this, you know, we love football and the whole thing, and, you know, we kind of gravitated toward that. But Philadelphia, our relationship with the sport is really deep. I mean, New York City has had a love affair with baseball. It's always been a baseball kind of mecca. And it has its share of basketball, just like Chicago. It's like other major metropolises. But no, I'm with you. I mean, you go back and, I mean, geez, you got Wilt and you got Kobe, right? Two of the top five people that are players ever. And then you have all those coaches and officials and players and all those people that, you know, came through, that are from here and have just accomplished so many great things in the sport.
Yeah, real quick, I was just, again, looking online here, like David Beckham even posted a really touching tribute. You know, because he said he was introduced to Kobe when he came over here to play soccer, you know, and it was just amazing, like, the impact he's had on all the, you know, the sports world and everything. And one final thing, too, you know, it's amazing, you know, even though the Basketball Hall of Fame is, like, in Springfield, just outside of Boston, and all the Boston Celtic touch, to me, that's not a basketball town, so, you know, I don't even want them in the equation here. But
yeah, I know. You know, I feel you. I feel you. Now, you're right, we have, and this, you know, brings out how deeply our relationship is, thanks, Vince, with the sport. It just, it does. I talked about it earlier with all the different walks of life and, you know, the interconnections, and then the interconnections with the game, you know, women's basketball. I mean, the sport is just such a part of us culturally, each one of us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.